Psalms 116 in your Bibles this morning. Psalms 116, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. It is a great day in the life of any Christian when we get around to asking, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? David asked the question, and then he answered it. He said, I will do this, Lord. First of all, the I will of salvation. Look at verse 13 once again. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Take is a verb. A verb shows action. It is something that you consciously do at a moment in time. And David said, I will take the cup of salvation. You have to take the cup. It is a choice. Please, if you're here this morning and you have never been saved, please take this cup called salvation. It is God's will for you to be born again. It is God's will for you to be born of the Spirit. I want you to hold your place in Psalm and go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 9. That old fisherman said this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. It is not God's will for any to perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance, that everybody come to a place where you have a change of mind about where you are going to spend eternity, and the fact that God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son so that you might go to that wonderful place. Please don't put off salvation this morning. You need to be saved today. James said this, life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it's gone. And those of us who have a few years on us, we know how very true that is. Life goes by so quickly. You understand that Jesus died on the cross for you. The rose of Sharon endured the thorns of the cross. The carpenter's son experienced the nails in his hands and feet. The creator of this universe became the lowest servant so that he might redeem us. This past week, we heard one of the senators in South Carolina, Tim Scott, say this, that original sin is just the beginning. It's not the end. And he is so right, because Not only is original sin the beginning, but redemption, ladies and gentlemen, is the end result of that. And He did it all for you. He stands at the door of your life and He knocks on the door. Open the door and take the cup. The cup in both the Old Testament and New Testament is very significant. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were made. A cup would be filled and raised to heaven and a prayer offered and a drink taken of that cup. It was a joyous occasion. But the cup of the New Testament most often represents suffering. Hold your place once again and go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and look at verse 39. Matthew 26, 39. The Bible says, and He went a little farther, and He fell on His face, and He prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, He would pray to His heavenly Father and say, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. What was He talking about? He was talking about that cup of suffering that was waiting for Him where He would be crucified on the cross. For us today, the Christian life is a very difficult journey at times. We all have our stories of how difficult it is. But folks, I would rather endure affliction with salvation than to have great riches here and die in my sin. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9, 10, and then verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how do you receive that? Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can pray a very simple prayer like, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, and He will save you. Second of all, the I will of service. Psalm 116, verse 14, and then a repeat of that is in verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Now verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. David was making a very public declaration of his service to God. He was making himself accountable to all the people. He could remember those days when he tried to cover his sin, and the spiritual and the emotional and the physical trauma that he experienced. It's all given in Psalm 51. If you want to take time to go there and read about the trauma in his heart. He wanted to put his life on the line for accountability, to be held to his commitments and his promises now in the presence of all the people. Faith is personal, but it's never private. Faith without works is dead. Faith always looks for something to do. Faith demands something to do. David is rededicating himself to the ideals that he had espoused during his early life when he faced Goliath and some of the other things. How great and how mighty God was in his life, and that any person and God was a majority. And that if you would humble yourself, God would exalt you. It is easy to make a vow to God in a time of distress and when things are better not to keep it. David understood that. You overcome that by surrounding yourself with accountability. I wish that we all did what is expected of us. But the fact of the matter is, most of us do what is inspected of us. That's accountability. If I were to ask you, where are you going to be 5 years in your service to the Lord from this date? And you would tell me some things, and you would say, I want you to hold me accountable. Great. Have you made a lifelong commitment to serve the Lord? How are you doing in that? Power is not our goal. Position is not our aim. Prestige is not our preoccupation. Our commitment is to be a servant and a bond servant of Jesus Christ forever. The only way to be truly liberated in life is to be a consistent servant of Jesus Christ. And then he would say in Psalms 116, thou hast loosed my bonds. And that's a good thing. Third, the I will of sacrifice. Look at verse 17 in Psalms 116. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. In the Old Testament, God dealt with Israel in relation to their attitude toward the sacrifice. Go with me to Malachi chapter 1, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's mine honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Now look at verse 13 and 14. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Let me ask you something. You think God was pleased with Israel at this time? The only sacrifice that they would bring is something that they didn't want anyway? God was not pleased with that. And the reason you know that, God didn't speak to Israel for 400 years following that attitude. We'll just give God the leftovers, that which we don't want anyway. And you know what, folks? Those sacrifices never saved anyone. But their teaching was to point everyone to the fact that one day the Messiah would come and take the place of all those ineffectual sacrifices. Messiah would be, as John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And praise be to God that when he takes that sin away, he never brings it back. We are not required today to sacrifice bulls and goats on the altar, but God does require the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving in our heart. So let me ask you, do you have a thankful heart this morning? Not to be thankful is a poor public witness of the goodness of God. Folks, we are the only ones who have everything to rejoice about. And the very antithesis of sacrifice is to be demanding. And that's not the way that God wants us to live. In Psalm 116, verse 2, the Bible says, I will call upon him as long as I live. What will it profit when life here is over, though faraway places I see, if going my way and doing my will, I miss what God planned for me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Let's pray. Father, thank you for David, that sweet psalmist of Israel, when he would contemplate and he would write these kind of things that so speaks to our heart. What shall I render unto the Lord for all the benefits that he's given to me? Father, help each one of us be very honest this morning with ourselves and with the kind of life that we are living. Help us, dear Father, to love you, to adore your Son, Holy Spirit, to be comforted by thee so very often in our life. I've seen the tears of your people. I saw the tears this morning of your people. And Holy Spirit, you're the one that can dry those tears and help us. Dear Father, if there's someone here that's never been saved, please have them come and we can show them how to be saved this morning. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies.